Dafnunchas. When the Arusa receives Mezainus, according to Reb Tarfa, he can give her Mezainus in the form of all Truma. But according to Rabbi Akiva, he has to give her half Chulin and half Truma. But if she's in a Suwa, everyone agrees you can only give half Truma and half Chulin. Because you have to anticipate that she'll have some days of Tuma, and she won't be able to go out of the house and sell some of this Truma in order to get money to buy Chulin, to have money to eat. Because we say, Kol Kveida Bas Melech Penima, she should really be inside. Therefore, since we have to worry about her having food when she's Tameh, he has to give her at least half Chulin. According to Yehuda ben Beseira, he can give her two-thirds Truma, but at least one-third has to be Chulin. Here the Gemara brings down the Pasuk of Kinyan Kaspai, and we have here a famous machlekes between the Pnei Yeshua and the Avnei Meluim. The question goes, what happens if a person goes over to a very close relative, like a mother or a sister or an aunt, and says, Hareat Mikudeshes Li B'tabas Zu? Now we know that they can't really make a kiddushin because these people are arayas to them. According to the Pnei Yeshua, this kiddushin would be no good since if she's married already. She's already taken. Somebody already has a kinyan on her. And we say, En Adam Makne Dabar She'en Shalai. Person can't be kiner because she's already married to someone else. This would be the equivalent of selling the book to one person and then selling the book, the same book, to somebody else. Once you sell the book to Reuven, the book belongs to Reuven. You can't sell it to Shimon anymore. But the Avnei Meluim says it has nothing to do with kinyanim, but rather the reason that he can't marry her is because Ein Kedushin Taifsin B'chaive Krisis. The next Mishnah. If someone is Makdish the Maisa Yadeha of a person's wife, she can ignore it. But if he's Makdish the extra money, the Meiser, then it's a Machlaikis if this becomes Hektish or not. According to Reb Meir, it does. According to Reb Yechon and Sandler, it does not. The Gemara. If a woman says, I am waiving my right for you to have, to give me Mezainis, but you can't have any Maisi Adaha either. In other words, normally we know that there's a pure exchange here. A man is Mechuyev to give his wife Mezainis in exchange for the woman's giving him her Maisi Adaha. Let's say she says, I don't want that. She's allowed to do it. Since the whole Takana of giving her Maisi Adaha to the husband is that so she should be able to get food. That's the condition. That's the deal. So this is basically good for her. It was for her own good and security. But if she doesn't want this benefit, in other words, of being fed by him, then she can waive the whole right in the first place. If a man tells a woman, you will become Mekudish to me after you become a Gieris, or after I'm freed, then we say the Kedushin is not good, since we say, Ein Adam Makdish Dover Shalayba Le'ayla. But Remeir holds that a person can be Makdish Adover Shalayba Le'ayla. Dafnun Tes. Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan HaSandler in the Mishnah, that if a man is Makdish, the Meiser, Meisei Adaha, that money remains Chulin and does not become Hektish. If a woman makes a kainim, which is a vow that asers a person from getting benefit from a certain cheftza, and she makes this kainim on her Meisei Adaha, so the Tanakhama says the husband doesn't need to nullify this vow since it isn't chal at all. But Rabbi Akiva says the husband should do hafaras nadarim since it's like kedushas haguf, so it might be chal. There are three cases where the chalais of Hektish can take a shibud off a certain item. These cases are only by kedushas haguf, not by kedushas damim. These three cases are Hektish, Chametz, or Shichro. The Mishnah. These are the types of work that a wife is mechuyev to do for her husband. Grinding, baking bread, washing clothes, cooking, nursing of the children, making the bed, and working the wool. If she brought maids along with her, then she is pater from certain work since she now has help, so she shouldn't have to do all of it herself. But she should always do some work because sitting around the house idle can lead to znus, and can make her a little bit crazy. And the Gemara says, this Mishnah wouldn't be like Reb Chiya, since he holds the purpose of a wife is either for her beauty, to have children, or for jewelry. And the Mishnah says the purpose is to do work, which will diminish her beauty, according to Taisus. Any person who wants his wife to look beautiful should clothe her in pishtan. If he wants his daughter to have a nice complexion, he should give her milk to drink before she matures. Taf Samach. The Gemara asks, how many months does it take for a child to recognize his mother, and he won't nurse, therefore, from anyone else, because he only recognizes and only wants to take milk from his mother? It's a machlekes if this is 3 months, 30 days, or 50 days. So if after that point, if you try to switch mothers, that it would be a sakana for the child, since he'll refuse, therefore you're not allowed to switch mothers at that point. The Gemara asks, how long should a baby nurse for? Rabbi Eliezer says, for 24 months maximum. After that, it's like kiyonik sheketz, and it's not nice. Rabbi Yehuda says he can nurse for up to 4 to 5 years. The Gemara says the milk of a human being is not tame, and is mutter not only for a child, but even for anyone else, as long as it was first put into a kli. It was parished from the mother. Of course, for a baby, direct breastfeeding, of course, is mutter. However, blood of a human being is mutter only while it is still part of the body. This is exactly the opposite of the milk for a regular person. For a baby, breastfeeding is mutter. But for anyone else to drink the milk of a human being, it first has to be put into a kli. Blood is just the opposite. The only time that it's mutter to be sucked on is when it's still part of the body. But once it goes out into something else or a piece of food or a kli, then it's usur to be eaten. So for example, if a person has blood in the gums of his teeth, then it can be sucked. Once it comes out onto the food, that food becomes usur. It's interesting also to point out that the Rambam holds basar adam is usur to eat midaraisa. The Ramban holds basar adam is usur midarabana. As background, the milking of an animal on Shabbos or Yontav is usur because of mefarik. This is detaching, which is a tolda of dush, threshing. Milking is turning food into a liquid. That's pshat in threshing. Others say that it's usur because of mamachek, because of smoothing. And the Gemara says if someone is in pain on Shabbos, not because of sakanas nefashos, but he's just in pain, he's not suffering to the point of sakanas nefashos, then he can suck milk out of an animal on Shabbos. If it's done kila'achar, yad. The Gemara says if a nursing mother's husband died, she should not marry again, according to Reb Meir, until the baby is 24 months old. According to Reb Yehuda, she should not remarry until the baby is 18 months old. This, of course, should not be confused with the halacha we said before of havchana, of waiting 3 months to remarry. That's a completely different halacha. This particular halacha is to ensure that if she becomes pregnant from husband number two, and her milk will lessen because she becomes pregnant, the baby will almost be weaned off his dependence for milk. Otherwise, the new father may not be willing to buy eggs and milk for the stepchild, and it will be a sakana for the stepchild. The Gemara says, according to Reb Meir, regardless of circumstances, a woman must wait 3 months after divorce or death of her husband before remarrying. This is the halacha of Havchana, which is in Yevamos, that we need to know if the woman becomes pregnant, is the son from the original father or from this new father. And we paskin like this, since we always paskin like Reb Meir when he issues a preventative measure, a gzera. The Gemara says, once a woman is nursing one child, she shouldn't nurse a second child at the same time. And while nursing, she shouldn't drink or eat things like beer, or earth, pumpkins, or curdled milk, which could damage the quality of her milk. People who have tashmish in a mill will have epileptic children. And if people eat clay, they'll have ugly children. Those who eat meat and drink wine will have healthy children. Those who eat fish will have beautiful children. Those who eat eggs will have children with large eyes. Daf Samach Aleph. Those who eat esrogim will have fragrant children. Although today these particular behaviors that we just mentioned don't necessarily have any meaning, the Rama says that a pregnant woman should be very makpid on kashrus, because if she's not, it could potentially hurt the child. If a woman wants to nurse a child and the husband doesn't want her to, we listen to her, since she'll be in pain if she does not nurse the child, because the milk will be in her, and sometimes that's painful. Even if she has many servants, she must still pour his wine, fix his bed, and wash his hands and feet, in order, as Rashi says, to enhance their relationship, mishum chiba. But if she's a nida, then she cannot do these three things. The Gemara says, Rava, Abaya, and Shmuel's wife, when they were nidas, used to do meziga sakais, but they did it with a shinai. However, hayshata is usar. Hayshata means that a nida cannot pass something directly from her hand onto his hand. Just a little bit of a background. We know, b'daraisa, if a woman sees dam, she becomes a nida for a period of 7 days. It doesn't matter if she sees dam for 1, 2, or all 7 days. 7 days is the zman nida. If on the 7th day she stops seeing dam, then she goes to the mikvah on the night of the 8th, and she becomes tahar. Back then, we also know midaraisa. If she sees dam after this point of 7 days, any time over the next 11 days, she can potentially become a zava, because these 11 days are called the yemei zivus. So we see there's an ongoing cycle. After these 11 days, she can become a nida again. That's why these 11 days are referred to as the Echadasar Yayim Shebe Nida Lenida. So if a woman can be either in her period called Yemei Nida, or the period called Yemei Ziva. If it's within the 7 days, then she's in the period of Yemei Nida. If it's within the 11 days, she's in the period of Yemei Ziva. During the Yemei Ziva, if she sees Dam 1 day, then she needs 1 day of Tahara, goes to the Mikvah, and that evening she becomes Tahar. This is what we call Shameris Yayim Keneged Yayim. If she sees Dam for 2 days, she's also considered a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. And then she can become Tahar. However, if she sees Dam for 3 days in a row, then she becomes a Zava Gemura, and she must wait 7 days, which we call the Shiva Nekiyim. Go to the mikvah on the seventh day. She brings a carbon on the eighth day, then she can eat kachem. That was back then. And Midaraisa, this is how the halacha applied. Midaraisa, we weren't as machmer to say that just seeing a little bit of dam, that a woman who becomes a full nida, a woman who becomes a full zava. However, today, Midarabanan, we say that Benayis Yisrael, hechmiran al atzman, that they wait 7 days on any side of blood. And this is, in fact, how we paskin today. These are what we call the shivanakiyim. In the Mechaber, Kuf Tzadi Hei, Sif Yud, he paskins that a nida can do all these malachas for her husband, except for Mezigas HaKais, unless it's done with a shinai. Making a bed is also in front of him, but it's mutter if he's not around. And for washing, she surely can't touch him, but she also cannot bring him water either for the purpose of washing his feet, hands, or face. Because this is called derechiba, and this could potentially lead to znus. The Gemara brings down a maisa that there were two chasidim. One used to feed his waiter before he served the food, and one used to feed his waiter after the waiter already served him the food. And Eliyahu Anavi came to talk with the chasid who fed his waiter first, but he did not visit the chasid who fed his waiter afterwards. And the Gemara says that a man cannot force his wife to prepare food for his, i.e. the husband's father, the husband's son, or the husband's horse. But he can force her to feed his cows, since this is not really stam for him, but rather they need the cows for milk for her house also. Therefore, he can't force her to feed the cows. The Mishnah. If a person asuras himself from having marital relations with his wife, according to Beis Shammai, the Isra lasts for 2 weeks. But according to Beis Hillel, the Isra lasts for 1 week. A Talmud Chacham is allowed to learn Torah without the reshus of his wife for a period of up to 30 days. However, a worker can only leave his wife without her reshus for up to 1 week. And the Gemara says, the machlekes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is learned from the amount of time a woman is tame when she gives birth. According to Beis Shammai, he learns from a woman who has a girl. Therefore, she's tame for 2 weeks. That's the 2 week period. But according to Beis Hillel, he learns from the birth of a boy, and that is that a woman becomes tame for a period of 1 week. Rav says if a man made a neder that he asurs tashmish on his wife forever, we make him give her a get immediately, and he has to give her the ksuba money. According to Shmuel, we wait to see if he can be matir neder. Daf Samach Beis. Gemara asks, what if she doesn't mind if he goes away for a long time to learn Torah? Our answer is there needs to be some sort of a time limit. Rab says he can go away for 1 month, and then he has to be home for 1 month. According to Rabbi Yechanan, he can go away for 1 month, but then he has to be home for 2 months. The Gemara says sighing is not good for a person. When a person sighs, sort of a breath of a sigh, it's not good for him, as it can destroy his body. If people get used to tsaris, it becomes easier to deal with them the second time around. The Gemara says the amount of parnasa that a person makes is always bashert. The wives of Talmidei Chachamim, who wait up all night for their husbands to return from the Beis Medrash, they will be zeicha to Olam Haba. People who have a lot of food and no worries are mechuyev in the mitzvah of oina, tashmish, every single night. La halacha, we paskin like this, but only if the person is physically strong enough to do it every single night. The oina, period of oina for laborers, is twice per week. But if they travel, it's only once per week. If they travel on ships, then it's even less. If a woman knows her husband is traveling, she gets happy if she thinks he might be coming home versus a man who made a neder. And then the wife is completely unhappy since tashmish would be aser. As we say, ein adayim misha yesh lei pas basale, le misha ein lei pas basale, the Gemara from Yuma. Meaning to say that if a person at least knows they have pas basale, i.e. he knows that her husband is traveling, but he might be coming home, so it's pas basale. Compared to a woman, whose husband made a neder that he can never have, so it's like she'ain pas basale. She knows she can never have tashmish, so she's very unhappy. The Gemara says that a woman would rather have less money, but be together with her husband more, than have more money and see him less. From here we learn that if a man wants to take a better paying job, but it will affect the oina frequency, he'll see his wife less, therefore he'll have tashmish less, then he must get reshus from his wife in order to take this new job. Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz brings a raya to this from the Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara brought down, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he was asked to become the Nasi, he said he would have to ask his wife's permission before he took that particular job. According to the Chachamim, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to go to learn for 2 to 3 years, even without his wife's reshus. The Gemara says the Zman of Aina for a Talmud Chacham
of Tashmish is Friday night, Leil Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah points out that a man is mechuyav to provide special chiba to his wife both Friday night and before Shabbos starts. The Shita Mikubetzah says, when the Gemara says, Oinas Talmidei Chachamim may Erev Shabbos at Erev Shabbos, this means that the Zman Oina can be either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday evening, not just Friday evening. Reb Chanina once went away to learn for 12 years, and when he returned and his wife saw him, she died in shock because she wasn't expecting him. He was misbal, and she was able to be revived. Reb Chama also went away for 12 years, but instead of coming home by surprise, he sent a message home first that he was on his way home so his wife would not be surprised. The Gemara then relates the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, that he was a shepherd until his master's daughter offered to marry him if he went to learn Torah. So he married her and went to learn Torah for 12 years. When he returned, he came with many Talmidim. But before he actually got home, he overheard his wife tell an old man that she wished he would learn for another 12 years. So Rabbi Akiva now saw that he had her rishus, and before he even stopped him to say hello, he made an about face, and he went to learn Torah for another 12 years by Rav. After 24 years, he finally returned with 24,000 Talmidim, and he told his wife that the credit for all the Torah belongs to her as well. The Telza Rav, Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, Zichrono Livracha, remarks how this incident indicates the importance of continuity in regard to learning Torah. He explains that the reason Rabbi Akiva did not even enter his house at all was because 2 times 12 years does not equal to 24 years of continuity. The knowledge acquired and the advantage gained from the persistent study of 24 continuous years without any interruption was much greater and more significant than a person studying for 2 separate periods of 12 years. The Meiri on Mishlei elaborates on this point, and he says a large part of the success and accomplishment that comes with learning Torah is when someone does it straight and it doesn't have many distractions or interruptions. Taf Samach Gimel, the Mishnah. If a woman rebels against her husband, she's a Meredes, we deduct from her, Ksuba, 7 dinarim per week. If he rebels against her, we increase her Ksuba 3 dinarim per week. And the Gemara asks, what does the Mishnah mean that she is rebellious? According to Rapuna, rebellious means she refuses to have Tashmish Hamita. According to Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina, she refuses to do work. The Gemara says he is considered rebellious if he refuses to give her mezainis. If she's a meredes, they make a hachraza in shul on 4 successive Shabbosos, but before we announce it mamish, we try to persuade her to do tshuva. And finally, if she says, I can't stand him, and says, I don't want his money either, we let her just leave him, but she has to leave without her ksuba. Taf Samach Daled. The parsha of meredes applies to an arusa, Nesua, as well as a Shomeres Yava, the Mishnah. If someone gives mezainis to his wife through an intermediary, he must give her at least 2 kavan of wheat, 4 kavan of sairin, barley, a half kav of beans, a half leg of shemen, 1 kav of dried figs. He must provide her also with a bed. Once a year he must buy her a coat with a kerchief and a belt, and new shoes each mayid, a number of times per year. New clothes have to be worth at least 50 zuz per year. He has to give her warm clothes in winter and lighter clothing in summer. He must give a ma per week for spending money. Also, she eats with him on Friday night. And if she's nursing, she gets extra money for food. The Gemara. The Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yechanan Bebreika or Rabbi Shimon. When someone makes a Erev Tchumen, he must put the amount of food equal to 2 sudas for each person at the 2,000 amma point. You know, if a person wants to walk beyond the 2,000 ammas, then he has to put something beyond the tchum, at the point of the tchum, so you can walk the additional 2,000 amas beyond the point of the end of the tchum. This has to be equal to 2 sudas for each person. And finally, the Gemara says, there's a machlekes, how many sudas we are machuyev to eat on Shabbos? 2, 3, or 4. Daf Samachay. We do not provide wine to a woman because it creates too much taiva for tashmish. If she's accustomed to drinking wine, however, and her husband is around, it's okay to give her 2 cups of wine. But if he's not around, we give her only 1 kais. If a woman drinks 1 cup of wine, it's good for her. More than 1 cup causes her to behave indecently. The Gemara says the clothing she gets once a year, but shoes she gets 3 times per year in mountainous areas where the shoes wear out very fast. A woman should wear her old clothing while she's a nida, and her new clothing when she's not a nida. So shloitiskana lifnei bala. So when she's not a nida, she won't be bad-looking to her husband. And finally, the Gemara says, Yisraelim are considered kedoshim and shouldn't do tashmis during the day unless the room is dark, then it's mutter even by day. This marks the end of this parak. Parak Shishi Mitzias Ha'isha, the Mishnah. If a woman finds an article, that article goes to her husband. Any Maisa Yadayim of a wife also go to the husband. But if she's injured, the Baishas Hu Pagam go directly to her. Daf Samach Vav, the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva argues on the Mishnah and says that if she finds something, she keeps it, not the husband. The husband also receives a portion of the Baishas Hu Pagam, since we say Ishtai Kegufai. So he suffers some embarrassment also, therefore he receives some of the Baishas Hu Pagam. As background to the next Mishnah, Nichsei Tzayin Barzel are the Nedunya. These are clothing, animals, and slaves that the wife brings into the marriage, and he has achrayas for them. If they go down in value, and then they get divorced, he must pay her their full original value. Nichsei Malug she also brings into the marriage, but he isn't responsible for their full value. And the Mishnah says, if a man after Erusin said he would give money to his son-in-law, and he died after the Nisuin, he can give it to the dead man's brother, but he doesn't have to. And the Gemara says, even if the dead son-in-law was an Am Haaretz, and the other brother-in-law, the Yavam, was a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have to give him the money if he doesn't want to. The next Mishnah. If she brings in Ksafim to the marriage, for every Selah is 4 dinar that she brings, he must guarantee a 1/3 addition, i.e. 6 dinar, for Nichsei Tzayin Barzel profit. In general, a man must provide a wife with items, kefi minig hamakam. And the Gemara says, in Yerushalayim, chasanim were obligated to give to the kala money for besamim, for spices, for perfumes, etc., because that was the minig hamakam. There was a maisa with Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai, who left Yerushalayim on a chamor, and a young girl asked him for a contribution. She was the daughter of Nakdimin ben Gurion, who was very rich, so it was kind of surprising that she was asking for tzedakah. He said, a person who gives tzedakah and chesed with his money, it's like salting it away permanently, because once a person gives tzedakah, he gets the zchus forever and ever. And since Nakdimin ben Gurion didn't salt it away properly, he lost it all, and therefore his daughter became poor. Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai says that as long as Klal Yisrael does the Ratzon of Hashem, no one can touch them. But if they don't do the Ratzon Hashem, they end up serving not only the enemy, but the behemoths of the enemy. Taf Samuch Zayin. When Akdimon ben Gurion used to go to the Beis HaMikdash, they used to put down a special mat for him and would let the Aniyim keep the special floor mat that he used. So, if he did give tzedakah, why did he lose all of his riches? The Gemara answers, either he did it all really for his own covet, it really wasn't for tzedakah, or he didn't give enough tzedakah for someone who was as rich as he was. Like people say, Lefum Gamla Shichma. According to the strength of the camel, that's how you load it up. Same thing, according to the riches of a particular person, that's how much tzedakah the person is expected to give. The Marsha asks, so he did it for kavod. Let's say he did it for his kavod. So why was he punished so badly because he gave tzedakah for his kavod? We know the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that if a person gives tzedakah shlo lishma, that's fine too. If a person gives tzedakah and says, the only reason I'm giving it is for the schus b'shvil sheyichye b'ni, so my son should live a long time, that's also considered very good tzedakah. So he answers, if a person steals from Goyim, even if then he turns around and gives that for tzedakah, he will be punished, not rewarded, because the money that was given to tzedakah came from bad sources, from things that were not done kahalacha, then it's even worse than not doing it at all. The Mishnah. If someone marries off his daughter without specifying a particular value for the nedunya, he must give her a minimum of 50 zuzim anyways. And the Gemara says, if you're dealing with a yusayma, you should try to provide extra. But a girl yusayma gets money ahead of a boy yasim. If the two of them are coming at the same time, who do you give first? You give to the girl first, since it's a bigger busha for a yusayma to be poor and therefore remain unmarried. First we provide, however, a yasim with a house and beds. Then we provide him with a wife. The Gemara says, if an ani ben taivim, used to be rich, you should try to provide him with the level of wealth he was once accustomed to. In fact, Hillel provided such an aristocrat with a horse and an eved, since that's what he had been used to, so he didn't want him to live a life without it. Someone once asked Rava for some fancy foods, but he explained he didn't expect the kehila to provide the food, because Hashem takes care of each person according to his needs on a timely basis, as we know from Tilam, Kapitel Kuf Mem Hei, Enei Cholelechis Abeiru V'atana Yisei Lahem Esachlam Bi'itai. If a person is poor and he refuses to take money from the kehila, you should give it to him as a loan, so he'll take it, and then later on you tell him it was a gift. Reb Shimon says, if a person has a lot of money, but he doesn't want to use it for food, but he would rather starve, in other words, he's very cheap, then we don't help him. Mar Ukva used to secretly push money in poor people's mailboxes. Once, he and his wife suspected one of the Aniyim almost saw them, and therefore would be embarrassed. So they ran away into an oven, to a hot oven, to hide. It turned out that the oven was very, very hot, and while his feet burned, her feet did not burn, since she had a bigger schus in tzedakah than he did. What does that mean? He only gave tzedakah in terms of money. He gave them the money. Then they had to prepare the food with it. But she used to be at home all the time, so she gave them cooked food in the house, which is a much bigger schus, because it's immediate pleasure. From this, Amar Rabbi Yochanan learned, Mishum Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Noyach Lelo Adam, Sheyimsar Es Atzma, Lusaych Kivshana Eish, V'yal Yalbin Pnei Chaveri Beravim. It's better for a person to have himself thrown into a furnace of fire than to have to end up being Malbin to embarrass his friend publicly. Whoever hides his eyes from giving tzedakah, it's equivalent to being an oivid avodah zarah. The Gemara says if someone pretends he is blind, or he pretends that his leg is injured, then he won't die until he is punished mida keneged mida with this particular thing. If someone takes tzedakah, but he doesn't need it, he won't die until he becomes poor enough to actually need it. And finally, the Gemara says someone is eligible to receive tzedakah if he doesn't have 200 zuzim to his name, but he's not mechuyev to sell his house, utensils, or furniture in order to be mefarnes himself. The Mishnah. A Yusayma who's a katana, since she has no father, her mother or brother marry her off, midas, midrabanim. She's supposed to get a nedunya, a dowry, equal to 1/10 of the father's estate. If they write the nedunya for 150 zuzim, when she gets older, she can request her full 1/10 that she's entitled to. Rabbi Yehuda says, if a man married off his oldest daughter and then he died, the second daughter gets a nedunya of similar amount that the first daughter got. The Gemara. Shmuel says nedunya gets evaluated depending on the size of the father's wealth. The Gemara says when we say each child gets 1/10 of the nechasim for nedunya, the first one gets 1/10. The second one gets 1/10 of what's left, not 1/10 of the original. A nedunya is different from mezainis, which is a tnai ksuba, in that the nedunya can be collected from nechasim mishubarim, property that her brother sold already. Masha'en ki mezainis cannot. Also, nedunya can be collected from karka or metaltalin. Masha'en ki mezainis are only collected from karka. Taf samach tas. A Mamer says that the schus of getting 1/10 of the property as nedunya to a daughter is received behilchas yerusha. But Ravashi says the schus is midin chayv, not midin yerusha. The Gemara says we know that a mourner sits at the head of the table when he eats, and that is learned from a pasuk in either Eov or Amos. The Mishnah. If someone gives money for his daughter through a shliach, and the job of the shliach is to buy a piece of land for her, and then he died, she at this point says, no, you know what? I don't want it that way. Just give the money to my husband and let him buy me the land. Rameir says the shliach should buy the field and not give the money directly to the daughter. It's mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. The mace wanted it a certain way. He wanted it through the shliach, so that's what you have to do. Rabbi Yossi says it's okay to give the money to the husband since a field is a field. So it doesn't really matter because whoever gets it, eventually she could do whatever she wants with it anyway. And the Gemara says, this would only be mutter if she's a gedolah. If a father wrote in his tzava that a son should get 1 shekel per week, if there's inflation, we give him extra money. But if he mamish specified clearly that he gets only 1 shekel, then we can't change it. Since we paskin like Rameir, mitzvahs l'kayim divrei hames. Dafayim. Metaltalin sold by a child is valid, but karka they cannot sell until these ketanim become gedolim. This marks the end of this parak. On the next tape, Emir Tisham, we will begin the 7th parak, Hamadir.